Y'all planning for this?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Perfect RIA Podcast. I'm your co-host, Matthew Jarvis, and with me today, special guest coach extraordinaire, my personal coach, which I guess, Rhonda, we'll see how long you remain my coach after this episode. That's a terrible thing to say. But Rhonda Farr. Rhonda, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. And you better not make good on me not being your coach for long or we're going to have a problem.
Well, I want to kick off this episode by sharing a quick story. I don't think I've told you this story either. I frequently give keynote speeches in the industry, and we were doing a Q&A after one. An advisor raises his hand. He says, Jarvis, I know that you've got this figured out. Like, I know that you really have life dialed in. For any of us that don't have life dialed in, could you recommend a coach? And at first, Rhonda, I thought he was joking because I'm like, I have some things really dialed in. At the end of the day, I'm still like a person. I still struggle with things. I still haven't. So I gave him the name of a coach just before I knew you. But you and I have been coaching together now for, I don't know, 6 months or so. 8 months, yeah. Something like that. And so excited to talk today about the work you do, excited to talk about how people that are very successful in some ways can struggle in other ways, why they may or may not need a coach. But let's get started. Tell us a little bit about you and about the work that you do.
So I love working with men. I work primarily with high achieving men, and it's actually my favorite thing to do. Some people, when they hear who I work with, they're like, eh, why would you want to do that? Like, what an unsavory group. But I love these guys that I get to work with. I'm a boy mom. I have only boys. I have only brothers. Like, I'm just a woman in a man's world. And I've been that way since the day I was born. And I just love it. I love it.
So these men that you work with, including myself, right? So they're usually very successful and typically in business, right? But why would someone that's already successful, right? That's hosting podcasts, that's making a lot of money, whatever, however we want to define success, why would they need to seek out coaching beyond that?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. Number one, I think when you're really good at something, you just love coaching, actually. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but you love being called out.
That's
like, if there's
true,
any yep. way you can make your life better or more efficient, or you could be even like 1% better. I hear that a lot. Like, you're going to want somebody who can see your blind spots. You're going to want somebody who can say, hey, from this vantage point, you might want to check yourself here, here, and here. And that's what I love about my clients. They're so coachable in a lot of ways, because if it makes sense to them, even a little bit, what you're saying, they will put it to the test. So first and foremost, they love being the best. And yeah. People who love being the best have coaches, right?
Yep. Yep. Hands down. That yeah. totally makes sense. Yeah. So people, they love being the best. I think that's something I've always been drawn to, having been the recipient of a lot of coaching, is having a sounding board. I know the kinds of things that you and I are able to talk about, right? I don't have to worry about like, oh, this is also my employee, or this is also my spouse, or this is also my business partner, right? Even this last week when we chatted, we were talking about a business deal that I have in place. And like, I need someone to sound off on this that doesn't have a dog in the fight, so to speak. And so I would imagine that comes up quite often as well as you're doing your coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. I work with a lot of different men who are entrepreneurs and various occupations. And I'll often say to them, you know what? I don't know your business, which in some ways makes this even better, but I yes. can ask you a ton of questions. And I promise you will have much more clarity by the time we're done. I also love to coach men in your world for another reason. Often, and Jarvis, you can push back on me because you've done it before as much as you'd like, but often highly successful men utilize a skill set that create so much in their business world, in their jobs. But that same skill set can often be less advantageous, shall we say, in their personal relationships, especially back at home behind closed doors. And so that's another reason people who are highly successful hire me, is because they want to see their blind spots where it has nothing to do with money. When they want to raise their emotional EQ, when they want to connect more deeply and more solidly with the people that don't have any money to offer them. That's where I come in.
Yeah, and not to, at the risk of trying to stir up a pity party, right, as my parents would always say, like, throwing a pity party here, the skill sets that make us, as you point out, make us really good at our job do not translate well. And sometimes we can think about that, like, hey, listen, don't you know that I'm a big podcast host? Like, don't you guys know, can you clean your room, please? Or like, you know, those types of things. Or, hey, how come my kitchen isn't cleaned? My office is spotless. And so it's almost like those, not only are they not the same skill sets, there's almost like they're the opposite of the skill sets there. So as you talk to these men, predominantly men, how do you help them, us, me, see the light on that?
Well, I would say, first of all, think about the things you do at work all day in your job. Like, you've got a good eye for seeing problems, I'm assuming. You're really good at solving things. You're really good at pointing out how things could be more efficient or how they could be approached differently. And now I want you to go home and ask your wives and children, hey, raise your hand if you like me to look at you with a really critical eye all the time. Hey, tell me who in this room wants to be solved and fixed every day when I come through the door. Tell me who wants me to shake everything up every other day and tell you like how it could be more efficient around here and how everything could be up to speed and my liking, right? Like, I don't know how many hands are going to go up in your house, but mine, not too many.
Don't ask questions you don't want the answer to. That's really what I'm going for. I'm not going to try. Yeah, that's really a good point, right? Because our days, Elon Musk even talked about this one time. He says, hey, if you're at the top of the company, you're only brought problems and you're brought the problems that no one else can solve. Now, obviously, Elon's running some insane empire. The rest of us are running more medium-sized businesses, but we're used to all these problems being brought to us for a rapid-fire solution. And I think, Rhonda, to your point, that's not exactly what's being looked for on the home front.
Not usually. And I will say, you know what? You guys are so good at this. Like, we need you. We want you. I don't want to be too disparaging here. Like, it's such a beautiful skill set. And that same skill set, you're so good at it. I say you're sometimes unconsciously competent, if you know what I'm talking about. Like,
sure.
You just, some people will say you're just a natural born leader, or like, you just do it so effortlessly. You're so good at networking, right? You're so good at all these things. And some of the people will be like, what? Like, yeah, your wife doesn't see this in you because you're so good at it. But I want to offer two things. Because you're unconsciously competent in this area of your life, you blindly apply it across the board sometimes to your wife and children. Like, if I come out and said, hey, Jarvis, do you want to go home and fix your wife and solve your kids and see how that goes? You're smart. You're going to be like, oh, they probably don't like that, like you just did, right? You laughed a moment ago. But we unconsciously apply that. Also, I would say when you're out in the real world, like, you know how to network, you know how to schmooze people. I've heard you and Micah talk on the podcast before, and you're talking about how you treat your clients so kindly and like how you make them feel right at home. So if you are listening to you guys talk, you're like, oh, they must treat their spouses that way all the time too. We're going to be really wondering what's wrong with your wives. Why don't they appreciate that? But you're probably better at that skill set when you're going to get something in return. Like money, business, more networking, right? You guys are doing it, even if it's unconsciously, usually with a purpose for something that is going to benefit you, right? So when we come home and our wives are not going to like up our business or validate us like everybody else, like, we might say, well, what's the point, right? Like, why do I spend so much time on that here?
Yeah, I was hoping for the solution now, because I'm like, yeah, it's exactly. Why don't they get it, Rhonda? Because you're right. Because coming home and saying, hey, who wants their problem solved? While I think my solutions are great, it doesn't go over quite as well. So what's the flip side of that for someone who comes from this world, right? So I don't know, like me watching Oprah's film, which I have a lot of respect for Oprah stuff, like that doesn't resonate to me. Like, how does somebody who's in a problem solving mode, how do they switch that gear to a mode of like what's needed in a personal life?
Yeah. So I first of all think you have to be aware. I mean, I know that sounds so basic, but you have to create some awareness because, like I said, when you're so unconsciously competent, it's not even on your radar sometimes that you're doing it. You really are kind of caught off guard. Like, what's wrong with them? I'm just trying to keep the house clean. I'm providing all these things for everybody that you all love. Like, come on, people. You're so unaware of what you're doing. So first of all, awareness. And if you need some help with that, ask your wife and kids. Like, hey, what is it that I do? I'm being so serious about this. If you're brave enough, come home and say, hey, sweetheart, what is it that I do that you sometimes feel unseen? Or what is it that you wish I understood about myself that you think I might not notice? Right? Like, seriously, go ask them if you want that awareness.
This reminds me, Rhonda, we used to always joke that like, if you ever wanted your prayers answered, pray for humility.
Yeah.
Like, the prayer that God answers every time, like, pray, help me to be humble. Like, that one gets answered every single time. So, okay. So I'm trying to be serious. So we go home, we ask, when do you feel like you're unseen? Mm-hmm. And what are the things that I might not know about myself?
Yeah. Or maybe even say it this way. What's it like to be married to me?
That's an easy one. Bliss, heaven.
Keep telling yourself
okay.
that.
All right. All right. What's it like to be married to me? Okay. Or to have me as your parent, right? For your, if you're asking your kids. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Which goes along with step number two, which really is curiosity. Can you just be curious? And now this almost sometimes feels like it's oppositional to solving and fixing. So be careful, because your brain will be like, okay, I'll be curious. And they'll say something, and then you're going to want to tell them why that's not right. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to want to tell them why you see it differently and why they should too, right? Or you're going to want to quickly fix it for them when you're supposed to be curious. So be really careful of the solving trap with your curiosity.
Okay. All right. All right. So I'm asking questions. By the way, if all of you are listening are like, am I sitting in Jarvis's coaching class right now? Like, you are. You're literally, this was our call. We talk on a couple times a month. Same stuff. This is actually Rhonda's way of saying, like, all right, listen, Jarvis, you're not going to listen one-on-one. We'll let the whole world listen in. So, all right, so we ask, we're curious, we're not in problem solving mode, which is going to be required, like sitting on my hands, like biting my tongue physically. And so that's really we're trying to get awareness here of like, all right, it's not necessarily all just roses and peaches and sunny days hanging out with high achievers.
Oh, I mean, they're wonderful. They're great. I love them. I work with them every day. And when you want to have a really personal or intimate, and when I say intimate, I mean emotionally intimate. I'm not talking about physical here. If you want to be in an intimate relationship with a high achiever, it can be really tricky sometimes.
Yeah, just also be a high achiever. And then it's,
hey, I'm going to call you on that, because even if you have a high achiever in the room and you're in opposing positions or stances here, it gets really tricky, right? When you both want to solve, you both want to control. You both want to make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted in the way you want to see them done. That truth can be tricky.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I suppose, and I'm just kind of reflecting on the work we've done, just having that space to be aware, that itself is going to make a big difference, right? So I'm going from, let me find, identify, and solve problems, which to your point, no one actually wants their problems found, identified, and solved. Otherwise, they would have asked for that. And then, like, to create space by asking these questions, be curious. What else comes to mind there, or just kind of in general as we're looking at this?
So when you first start to be curious, this is something that you're going to need to be aware of. And a lot of high achievers hate this part, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I think it's important. You have to notice how your body's feeling and not let it run the show. So for example, some of my clients will even call out their name. Like, they call themselves Intensity, like, oh, here comes Intensity, or here comes, oh, there's another one. I can't remember what this other guy called it, but like, they name this thing, like when it starts to bubble up. So perhaps the wife would say, or the children would say, Dad, you're too hard on us. And you feel it like rising up in your chest and it's about to come out your throat. You want to know hard? Let me tell you about, you know, right? So you need to start being aware of your body and being able to regulate your nervous system. Now, we could spend 10 podcast episodes on regulating your nervous system, but this really is a skill set that is so important. If you really want to know somebody and be curious, you have to be willing to hear what they say and let them be known. And that's so hard sometimes, because our whole body will like tighten or want to explode, or maybe if we're like, I can't explode, that's inappropriate, we'll just completely check out. All of those are nervous system responses that our body has learned to do when we don't like what we're hearing or seeing.
So speaking of this, like not liking what you're hearing or seeing or doing, how, when you're coaching, are you getting clients to take this action, which I think both applies to the work that you're talking about specifically, but as financial advisors, we're largely coaches as well on a financial standpoint. I mean, you're asking these successful guys to do very difficult things. For me, piece of cake. How are you directing people on this, right? I mean, how do you as a coach get this message across?
Well, I like to have them engage in some experiential learning. It's my favorite, right? So we might talk about something that's really difficult for them at home with their kids, even at work. Sometimes I feel like they're more willing to step to the discomfort of work. So we'll just like bring it up and I'll say, hey, tell me everything you're frustrated about. Empty your brain for 2 or 3 minutes, which, by the way, listeners, you can do this at home. Think about something you're frustrated about with your spouse, with your kids, with your business partner, with a client. Just empty your brain. And I like to put pen to paper. I know we're in a digital world, but there's some research that shows when you put pen to paper that we can access those deeper thoughts better. fill up a whole page unfiltered. Like, say the worst things on this paper that you would never want to say out loud. That's what this is for. Then you're going to look at that and you're going to really think about, okay, when I'm telling this story, because we're always telling stories. I don't mean that condescending. We're just, the brain's a story maker, right? When we're telling this story, how does it feel in my body? And so I'll often ask my clients to name it. Like, what's the feeling? And I like to name it with emotional names, not just like the beast or whatever it is, right? Like, am I feeling angry? Am I feeling like snubbed by a client? Or am I feeling out of control? Whatever it is, right? Let's call it out. And then here's the cool thing that my clients hate. I just say, take a deep breath, relax your body as much as you can, and describe it. Like, all the sensations. My chest is tight. It feels like my stomach has a sucker punch. I feel like words are going to explode out of my mouth if I relax my jaw or if I open my lips, right? Like, just start describing it. What we're doing is a lot of things. We're teaching ourselves that we can sit with uncomfortable emotions without letting them run the show. We're literally just getting to know deeper parts of ourselves that will run the show without our awareness if we try to ignore them, right? And we're just learning that we can have a different way of behaving. We're interrupting old patterns, old conditioning.
Yeah, that's a really good point. In Arthur Brooks' new book that he wrote with Oprah, of all people, he talks about that a lot of times we get these negative emotions, right? Which come from old parts of our brain, right? And we trust those feelings. Like, so if I'm upset, that's the accurate feeling. I must act upset. Or if I'm scared, I must act scared. And kind of his point and Oprah's point as well was, hey, you can train yourself to have those emotions, acknowledge them, and then decide what action to take. So it sounds like, Rhonda, this is really a framework for really being intentional there. Write that all out. Okay. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just to go off on what you said a little bit, we have an amygdala in our head for a reason, right? Because we will repeat really stupid, dangerous behaviors if we don't. So you do something that's a little scary, your brain remembers it, and it stores that information away. Then when you're about to do something scary again, or you hear something or smell something that was similar to that old dangerous situation, your brain will say, warning, 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 right? And it will try to get you to pause, stop, and obey the warning. Now, of course, it's a smart thing to check in with it. Just like you said, we have to acknowledge it, else we would walk off cliffs, walk in front of Mack trucks or whatever, right? So we want to pause, take a deep breath, let ourselves feel the warning and check in with it. Like, hey, is this really dangerous? Is this person in front of me who's saying something I don't agree with a tiger? Or are they somebody I actually really love with a different opinion that I'm learning to tolerate how it feels to disagree with, or how to let them be their own person without me having to dictate and control everything?
Yeah, it's a good point. I was trying to think, because you initially mentioned this, like in a work setting, right? It obviously works personal as well. I wonder, and I guess I'm probably the only one that wonders, this is obvious to you, but in a work setting, like, we get away with that so much more, right? Because I'm the boss, even if I'm a super accommodating boss and I'm great with my team and I like to think that I am, right? Your employees give you a lot more grace, well, grace generously, than your family, right? Than your spouse, than your kids. But it seems like that would almost be like a safe place to test this out, right? Because your team member is going to be a little bit gentle on you, but really they run into the same thing, right? There's things I do and it really upsets the team and it puts them in a bad spot. If I can kind of like, all right, let's kind of flesh this thing out. But
that's such a good point. I have so many people who tell me after they do this work and they're practicing and really at home, they're like, oh my gosh, people at work are coming up to me saying, what's happening? Like, who are you? I can't believe you did. And some have said that they've come up and said, thank you. Like, we really appreciate you asking us, you hearing our voice. And you make such a good point. When you're at the level that you and many people like you are, many of my clients, they gain a certain amount of autonomy that they can rule the roost. They can run the show. They really can do it the way they want because it's their business and they work their butt off to get there. So great, great. We're happy for you. The thing is, that kind of autonomy, like you said, it gets you so much reward and it works well in the workplace, usually. But when you go home, like, your person doesn't care. They're like, I don't even want these 10 vacations in this huge house that I have to clean and all that. I don't even want that. Like, I want a collaborative relationship. And your kids are like, I want your time, or I want your acceptance, or whatever that might be, right? So yeah, you make it such a good point. At work, we gain a lot of autonomy there that might not be as appreciated at home.
I love it. So many directions we could go. And like you said, we could have 10 episodes on this topic as well. But I want to ask you specifically to the coaching relationship, having coached a lot of people yourself, how do you recommend people either evaluate a coach or decide if it makes sense to keep working with a coach, right? So you obviously, like, you've coached a lot of people, but if you were on the other side, how would you help them evaluate a coach or decide if I should keep working with this coach?
That's a really good question. So first of all, most coaches offer free consultation calls. Always sure. Do a ton of shopping around, I say, with a coach. But you want somebody who's going to really question you, question everything, right? I don't ever want to work with a coach who believes my story. So for example, if I come and say, my husband's a pain in the butt, or if I say, my job is just like, I can never scale and I don't know how to do it. And if they believe that and they're like, oh, you're right, tell me how bad it is, and I'm not going to hire them. I don't want somebody who believes my story, or we're both drowning. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also think it's a good idea to find a coach who does, that being said, that I don't want them to believe me, I want somebody who does understand where I'm coming from. Like, I probably don't want to go out and hire a coach who has never known a woman before, right? Like, who has lived in a male world, which I guess we all kind of are, right? Can I say that on this podcast? Right. Sure. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want a coach who knows nothing about me. I want somebody who has been around the block. I can hear in their language. They know who I am. They know what I'm facing. And they're confident enough to call me out on it. Like, I want somebody who's going to call my crap. And I will tell you, with the guys I work with, you know, you're one of them. That used to be really intimidating to me. But you know what? My clients love it. They love it when I don't let them get away with anything. So I would say shop around. Don't want somebody to hear your story and believe you. You want somebody to call you out, and you want them to know who you are. You want them to know your language and know your world a little bit. Like, if you have a specific cultural interest, mm-hmm. or whatever, like, you want them to know that.
Boy, that makes a lot of sense. I'm trying to imagine a version of Rhonda who was intimidated to call people out, because that version of Rhonda does not exist at this, at least not in my experience, which is great. Congratulations to you. I know that's obviously an evolution for everyone. Well, Rhonda, I would love for this episode to go on for hours. And we'll talk again next week, you and I. But what's an action item that our listeners could take right away? What's something, this idea of asking and being curious, I love this, but is that, in addition to that, is there any action items that people can jump out of their chair right now at the end of this recording and take action on?
You know what? Let's just build off of that one if you want
to. Yeah,
you know,
yeah, let's please.
You know how business owners, sometimes they're like always looking around and jotting down the problems they see, or something that could be better. Like, if you're walking down the street and you see 10 people walking their dog and you're like, oh, I'll be a dog walker or whatever, I can make money. You look for pain points, and then you guys are so good, like unconsciously competent at capitalizing on pain points. Here's what I would say. What are the pain points in your parenting, in your marriage, or in some other interpersonal relationship? Just sure. Jot down 4 or 5 of those. And then after you jot those down, maybe ask yourself, what are a couple of these that I'm willing to dive further into? And then go into those pain points and start getting curious. And just start understanding your stories, your narratives around those pain points in your specific circumstances. Maybe even go through the rest of those prompts, right? Like, how do I feel when I'm stuck in this story? Describe your body, right? Maybe start thinking of ways to calm your nervous system. But today, right now, if all you can do is go find, what are the pain points in these interpersonal relationships? And where am I willing to start diving in and learning more? It could change your whole experience.
But the key there is to not try to solve them, right? Because I could find them and I could solve them. So to find them and be curious and dive deeper into them.
Yeah, and recognize really your key. Own nervous system response, and don't let it run the show. Because if you are like, okay, I'm getting so curious and whatever, just like you said, even if you're pretending to not solve, you might like get so full of frustration or anger or resentment, like it could still be a disaster, even if you're like, but Rhonda, I didn't solve. But I just vomited a bunch of immature crap all over the place, you know, whatever, right? Like, there's a lot of ways that we could go a little south with this, but
yeah. We definitely could.
I would say one step at a time.
That's an intense action item, right? For our listeners, anyone who doesn't think this is an intense action item has either not tried it or has not yet got to that level of success where it becomes an intense action item. Rhonda, how do people learn more about your work? And real quick, before you mention how they do that, I have to pass on the glowing endorsement from my wife, Jackie, who I've been as you know, married 20 years. We've been together 25 years. And you and I started working about 6 months ago together. And I've worked with coaches for the last 12 years or some 15 years. And so Jackie the other day says, who is your coach right now? Because whoever it is, they're making a big difference, which she has never said about any of the dozens of other coaches I've ever had. So that alone is a glowing endorsement. So with that endorsement, Rhonda, how do people learn more about you and your work?
Oh, Jackie. I don't even know Jackie, but I love Jackie.
We all do, yeah.
Yes. Go to rhondafarr.com. You can find me on Instagram, rhondafarr_coaching. I also have my own podcast, the Intimacy Podcast for the Million Dollar Man, where we talk about all things emotional connection and really digging out those stories and getting curious and creating deeper connections.
I love it. Rhonda, thank you so much for being on the show. For all of our listeners, next time we see each other at a conference, you need to tell me what your deep dive was, because that's between you and Rhonda. But if you've done it, I'll buy you a beer on this one, because this is a pretty big ask. So Rhonda, thank you so much for being here. And to all of our listeners, until next time, happy planning.
Hold on before we go. Something that you need to know. This isn't tax, legal, or investment advice. That isn't our intent. Information designed to change lives. Financial planning can make you thrive. Start today, don't think twice. Be a better husband, father, mother, and wife. The perfect RIA.